Guess who's back again. All greats back. What? Tell a friend. I'll make your name is back in this podcast. Okay, it kind of fell downhill.
Yeah, I was just sitting here bobbing with you.
But hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of I'll Make Your Name Great podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tyrone Robertson. And I am joined by my lovely, beautiful, intelligent, outstanding wife, my partner, both in podcasting, but more importantly, in life.
Is that right?
Ashley Robertson. Yeah, the crowd goes crazy. Yeah.
Do they really?
I mean, I'm the crowd. So,
I
go crazy. So the crowd goes crazy. That's how it goes. So how you doing today, baby?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So we got another episode here. We're going to have an interesting conversation and talk all about what to do, the questions to ask before committing.
Yeah,
What we should have asked. And I'll be honest, we didn't do none of them.
We didn't?
Some of them. No, we did none of them. But
I don't know, maybe.
Before we get into the conversation, let's go ahead and get to our Stories from the Village, though. So Stories from the Village is where we share a story from our highlight from our family or our village, right? It could be either our household or our parents' household, our friends, anybody who we consider part of our village, right? And so this week's Stories from the Village, we kind of want to give a surprise. This is going to be a surprise, although it's not going to be a surprise when it comes out. We are actually preparing to head out for a family vacation to Florida.
Yes.
And so, I don't know if you saw our previous episode where we talked about how, you know, Ashley had some ER.
It might be after this one, right?
No, it might be before.
Okay.
Ashley, we'll make it before. Where Ashley had some ER trips and it kind of made, and we had to cancel the trip. Well, you know, the family went on without us, but Ashley's feeling better. We're able to we're going to plan on surprising them. In
yes,
Florida.
Guys, we're coming. We're coming.
So we're going to definitely surprise our kids. I know they'll be shocked to see us and happy to see us. Or they may be disappointed. I don't know.
Right? Like, we didn't want you here.
I was like, why are you here? We were finally away from you. Why? So I think we're getting packed and we're kind of excited to kind of go and be able to kind of surprise the kids and kind of see them and spend that time with them.
Right.
And I think it'll be just a great adventure, and so we'll give you a update on later on to see how the trip went and all the highlights from it. So we'll really have some more highlights.
Definitely.
I think it'll be fun. So, okay, that's our Stories from the Village. Let's go around. All right. Okay, so for today's episode, we want to talk about things you should do before committing to a relationship, right? And again, we didn't do these things per se as in a mindset of I'm going to ask these things because it's important. Some of these things might have came out just in our conversations, in our discussions.
I think so.
And I saw that we had answers to some of those, but we'll kind of go over some of the 10 things and why they're important and why we think they're important. Right. And also, were they an issue that came up with us?
Yeah.
And so we'll kind of get with that. So we'll kind of go back and forth about asking the questions, right?
Right.
And going to questions. So the first one is where do you see our lives going?
Yeah.
I could really see how that was important to kind of get a mindset of what the future plans for everyone.
I don't think we asked that question in the beginning.
I don't think we did either.
I think we should have.
Because I think we would have got different answers. And I think we would have had something we understand we need to work through.
The sad thing is, I think, because we were so close and we talked about so much, I think we talked about where we thought we were going. I'm going to go back home and I'm going to do this. But I don't think we ever then revamped that conversation when we started dating.
No.
Or in the midst of the beginning. It was kind of like, yeah, they know.
Right. And I think that was kind of, I don't think we had that conversation. And so part of it was kind of like, oh, no. So at one point, it was we were going in opposite directions. It's like, wait, I thought she was coming here.
Oh, yeah,
And so it was like, oh, wait, I guess we should sit down and talk about this, right?
Yes.
And so I think that kind of led to it. Honestly, I think that also became one of the issues later on in our marriage. Again, we're going to talk about it. I think the turning points in our relationship, part of that is because we never really had a discussion of where do we see ourselves going in our lives.
Right.
And where do we think we're going to go and how we're going to go forward. And I think having that conversation ahead of time and getting on the same page and going forward would have helped our relationship, at least initially. But mm-hmm. I think so much of it, we were kind of reactionary in the beginning and just kind of reacting to events versus having a plan out for events.
Yes, plan.
And so I think it's definitely important to have that conversation with someone and get an understanding so you guys can be on the same page. And it's much easier for two people to go in the same, if they're
to get, achieve a goal if they're heading in the same direction.
Definitely.
And if they know what direction they're heading to versus them like, oh, I thought we were going this way, you know. And so.
Yeah. Pulling is you taking up time and energy going in two different directions.
Right. So what's number two?
What are our thoughts on children?
Oh. So I think we had this. We did have this conversation.
Well, I in the beginning was like five kids, basketball team.
And so that's the only thing. We had the conversation. Now, we didn't have the same answer.
No.
But we had the conversation because I was like one.
Yes, you were one. I was five.
Yeah. And so we met in the middle.
Was like, you were five. I'm like, yeah.
I was like, and in my mind, I was like, she don't know what she asking for.
I didn't know what I was asking.
She don't want to pay for five kids.
But I was like, I'm having five little rodents running around here.
And he was like, one of them, I want some twins. And it was yeah.
Almost.
It was like, no, she don't know what she asking for. And so I was like, poor little thing.
Poor little ting ting.
She don't even know what she asked for five kids. And so my mom was like, I want one. Because I want to get
out. Well, at that time, I feel like when we talked about it, we wasn't even in a relationship.
No.
Right? We were friends. So it was like, I don't care what he want. And you probably like, I don't care what she want. I ain't the person that's going to give it to him. So, you know.
And I think the good thing is that we both did still want kids. But I think this is an important conversation because there are some people out there who don't want kids.
True.
If that's something you know that's important to you, you don't want to invest your time, energy, and effort into somebody and you grow this attachment to somebody and then that be the one of the things like, but you know, the relationship can't go so far because I want kids and they don't.
Because it will play an effect. It will play a player.
And, you know, this actually played out in a public relationship of, I'm going to say her name, but I'm not going to say it right, of a girl off The View, not The View, of The Talk, Jeannie something.
Oh, wow.
And she was married to a man and originally they talked about the kids and she didn't want kids, but he did. So eventually that's why they broke up.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the, to me, that's a relationship ender type
definitely.
Thing. You know, there are a few things that are, that's the relationship ender, and that's one of them.
That's one of the
things. One person wanting kids, one person not. I think that's one, and that's why it's important to talk, have that conversation ahead of time. So, you know, you don't go down that pathway and that road because right. Then you have all those attachments. I'm like, they're a great guy, they're all this, and or a great girl, and they're all this and that. But that's one of the things
that's
that will
your
always, killer, and that's always going to be a pull. Right?
Well, I guess we landed somewhere in the middle. You didn't get your one, and I didn't get my five, but
no,
we got three.
We got three of them things.
So, what's the third unavoidable question to ask before getting married or in a relationship?
How do you handle stress?
Ooh.
And I think this is important because, honestly, this is a topic or a discussion for us even today.
Right.
Because oftentimes when I'm in a stressed out situation, one of the things I do is I laugh.
Yes,
I find the humor.
Do.
I'll laugh at certain things and I'll chuckle and I'll laugh like, and I know it drives you bananas.
You saying it just drives me bananas.
She got mad all of a sudden. Just the thought of it. Oh, I wish she would laugh. But that's the thing. I mean, she'd be in the middle of a stressed out situation and I'm laughing.
Here comes a chuckle like the Joker.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I deal with stressed out situations. I find the humor. And what it is, I tell myself is, don't get too mad. Don't get elevated. Don't bring
right,
your emotions
right,
up
right.
there. So find the funny, find the joke, find something to bring you back down and keep you level handed. And so then I'm laughing
at me.
You're somewhere around there. It's not
yeah,
per se.
Okay,
it's at, it's at the situation. You
and
just
that
are the situation.
Does not make the situation better.
I mean,
okay, when somebody is trying to be intimate and serious and you're laughing.
But in my defense, though, I also don't feel like it makes the situation better if we're both upset.
I agree. And oh, are you trying to talk about how I handle stress now?
I wasn't talking about you particularly, but if the
talk
shoe fits.
About you.
But the
talk
shoe
about
fits.
Yourself.
Now, we can go ahead and talk about you
talk
now.
About yourself.
Go ahead and talk about you.
Well, me handling stress. Mm-hmm. I have several different ways, actually, I handle stress.
Okay,
I
what are these several different ways? Go ahead. Enlighten me.
Oh, you don't know?
I just want to know. What, tell me. Tell me what you want.
Well, I do have the typical woman, I can blow up, of course. Can't we
like
all?
Like atomic bomb. Like
well,
just.
Well, everybody can go to 0 to 100 real quick.
Nah. You don't go to 100 real quick.
That's 100.
You like, it's like a billion, gazillion, trillion dollars.
You gotta put the little pinky by your lip,
yes.
Though. I'm not the evil.
Dr. Evil?
Dr. Evil. Mm. Just a little.
A little bit.
And then I have my meditation. I do
right.
that. I have my medicine. Mm. I do that. And so I think I have ways coping, but I think my first reaction is almost a blow up is one of the reasons. And when I'm blowing up, I give no air to breathe for the next person.
None.
I'm going to shoot you with an Uzi and you take it. How it goes. Catch them bullets if you can. But I'm working on it. I've been working on it, Jesus. And I know that's not the way I'm supposed to be. So, you know, come on. You ain't giving me nothing back here.
Hey, listen, I was giving you the platform. I was giving you the platform to go ahead and speak your piece. You know, this is Joe.
Never once you're like, yeah, she's working on it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're working on it.
Don't give me that fakeness. I don't need it. Don't give me the pity party.
Number four.
Number four is, how do we handle conflicts?
I think this is a very important question to ask, because it'll give you insight on the person and what to expect. Understand, if this is a person who's like, you know, conflict the situation, we need our separate space, I want to go our separate rooms, you know, figure it out and then come back together. To understand that, because then that's not the person. If you're the person that when conflict happens that I want to talk about it right then and there, then maybe understand that that's going to be a difference that you two have. Yeah. And that's going to be somewhere you guys differ, and you guys are going to have to meet somewhere in the middle on that.
And
on
can
that
I tell you a revelation I had about mm-hmm. conflict is that in the beginning, I did not believe, and it took me a long time to believe, and I know people might shoot me down for saying this, that it's okay for somebody to leave.
Right. It
like
But some people need to leave.
Like, I've rather, no, you know that. You're going to sit here and talk to me. You ain't walking out the door. No, let them walk out the door for you end up on the floor.
And I think,
please let them walk out.
And while I'm not that when it comes to conflict.
Oh, no, you're not
I
that.
I do like to say, all right, let me avoid this. Let me step back for a minute. Take a breath. Let me, you know, gather my thoughts and come back. Because for the most part, I like to have logical arguments.
You do.
And so I sometimes when I'm upset, I can't have logical arguments. Right. And then one thing I hate when I make an argument that doesn't make sense. I'm like, dang, that didn't make no sense. All right, let me come back to that.
And at that point, you know, I'm eating everything up.
No,
and you said, doop.
And so one of the things I definitely like to take that space and
get your thoughts together.
Thoughts together and come back. And also because sometimes I need to check this to make sure I'm not the one that's just bugging.
That's right. A really good one. Even for me too.
Right. Because sometimes I'm just bugging.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. I'm making it a big deal. And it's not like, and that's where I kind of developed is it, are you trying to be right or do you want to get it right?
Right.
And that's one of the things I had to talk about. You know, some situations, some conflicts are just strictly because I just want to be right.
Right.
And even to the point, it gets me a better mindset when having the conversation, because there's times we've had conversations and arguments about, like, we agree on 90%, but we have an argument about the 10%.
Right.
And it's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, be right, Tyrone. You agree on 90%. Just let the 10% go, right?
Right. And even in my case, like, that is such a good point that you hit on, because I even had to step back from conflicts. Like, you know, because at first I used to be very adamant about, no, we're going to talk about this. One, because I don't want to lose the adrenaline and the passion for what I feel sometimes at that moment. Not so much in the anger, but more so I'm really passionate. I really feel this in my heart, and I want you to feel that from my heart. But what I learned to do is call my mentors.
Mm.
A lot of times in the midst of heat, and I call my mentors, and them old women put me in place like no other.
I appreciate it, y'all.
I call them all mamas. Even of course, my mothers are my mentors, but then I have other ones who are not my biological mother, are not,
right.
And I call them mothers too. And they would say, Ashley, girl, you got a good one, or calm yourself down. You're doing too much. It ain't that serious. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nah, you don't understand. And they're like, no, we do. You're over exaggerating. And sometimes you need somebody that's not a yes person in your ear, mm-hmm. but it's just going to help you to be better. And so then I would have to step back and be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, I appreciate it, y'all.
You want some tacos?
Bobby wants some tacos. Okay. So number five was, what is your relationship with gambling, drugs, and alcohol? And I think...
Definitely need to talk about that before the relationship.
Right, because several things, right? It's oftentimes when we sit on, even on divorce court, we say like, you know, we're talking and I realized they were alcoholic. And it's like, well, what did you realize? After I married them. It's like, that should have been a conversation.
Right.
That should have been a talk of a person like, yeah, I like to have a drink every day. Anybody that says, I like to have a drink every day, that's just something you might be mindful of and pay attention and understand, is that something you can deal with?
I mean, I will say this. That is one of the things you said before we got married. You did have that talk.
Yeah, we had these talks.
And you were like, I don't want a woman that does this and that, you right. know? And it was some of the things I did do. I own it. And I was like, I had to really evaluate, like, yo, can I try it to do this to be in a committed relationship? But that is definitely something you need to discuss, because it is also, it can destroy your relationship.
And 100%. And it's 100%. I mean,
Yeah, and those are things we've had conversations and discussions about, even within the marriage, right? And the good thing is, for the most part, we have similar views on a lot of those things, right? Neither one of us are really neither one of us are really big into gambling. Neither one of us liked the idea of losing money. I mean, I feel like the last time I really gambled was when I went to Chico. I used to shoot dice a little bit.
I did bingo with my sister. Is that gambling?
It is gambling, but it's like very minor, right?
We're probably like five, six years ago.
Neither one of us plays the lotto. Or scratch offs, or big on casinos, or anything like that. We don't like to lose. I'd rather blow my money shopping or blow my money eating.
Let me buy another house.
Right, and so from that, and I think we have similar views on a lot of other on the drugs and alcohol as well. So I think that's one of the things that while we didn't, I think we know 100%. It was a conversation we had about what our vices are, what are the things we do can and cannot deal with. And I think without knowing those, that tells you a lot about the situation. Again, if a person says, you know, I have an issue with gambling, then even if you decide to go forward with them, just know they're not the ones who are going to be handling the finances.
Right.
And you might need to collect their check before they get home. Definitely. Right. You might need to have their check direct deposit to your account.
Right.
And an account they don't have access to. You know, just prep it. Understand that might not be a bad person, but understand what you're signing up for and what you need to deal with. And that's why it's a conversation I need to have. You don't want to marry the person and then find out, you know, oh, wait, this person's an addict.
Right, right. And that takes us to our sixth question, which is, how will we manage finances?
You know, this is one of the things I don't think we talked about at all.
No, we did not.
And the truth is, I think we kind of just wing it sometimes.
Well, we talk about it way more now than we ever did. I know, I think we wouldn't have been able to do this out. Mm-hmm. I think finance have definitely been more of a part in our lives, daily day journey than it was talking about the beginning. But I do think you should have talked about it in the beginning, because I do think because we didn't talk about it, that first 5 years of marriage, we had that struggle of finances, the power struggle. Where does that lie? How do you feel? Who money is? What is it? Because I had a big thing like, that's your money, ain't my money. You know, we did have that. But over time, I'm going to speak for myself. I know for me, reading all the books and the gurus of learning money and trying to learn what I can definitely helped spark conversations about finances and credit and building credit and things of that nature.
Because I think one of the conversations, you know, one of the things is like, say, whose money is it? Is it your money? Is it, if you earn it, is it your money? Is it, if I earn it, is my money? One of those things. I think we had a different, not that we couldn't meet, but I think we had somewhere different philosophies in there, you know, from that standpoint, where I always felt like no matter who makes it, it's all our money.
You always said that.
And it don't matter who makes it, it's all of the family's money, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. Also, too, what is your relationship with money and what is your history with money? I think that's an important thing, too.
Definitely.
You know, what does having money or not having money mean to you?
Right.
And what does that signify to you?
Because I had a lot of friends who didn't have money, and when they got it, they blew it.
Right, and they blew it. And it's a point. Some people feel like, you know, hey, you know, I got to shine, or I got to show, or I'm going to give everybody the things I never had. And that's a relationship because I grew up without it so much that now when I get it, I got to do these things with it, right?
Right.
And it's a point, even to the point, me and you had a different philosophy on how to manage money. Your philosophy initially was, I like to pay all the bills up front. And so then any money left over, I know we can go ahead and do that.
Yes.
Whereas my philosophy, and not to say either one was wrong or right, is my philosophy is, hey, we never know what might happen. So let's not spend all the money initially. Let's hold off on some, because you never know what might happen. The car might break down, or you might need this emergency. This emergency might happen, so you might need to hold off.
Which should be emergency fund.
But again, you know, but I'm just saying we had a different philosophy. And I think that was one of the things that kind of, you know, we had to work out in the beginning parts of our marriage, because that wasn't ever a conversation we really had.
No, which I think is definitely needed for all my newly birds out there in relationship. Definitely have a finance. And I tell my brothers and stuff this all the time. And even people who's in relationships and they can't have a conversation about finances, I tell them that's a very slippery slope.
Right. Very much so.
You have to be able to communicate about finances.
Yeah. And okay. So number seven is, what would happen if we experienced a change in work life?
We didn't talk about it, but I wish we did, because we definitely experienced so many times in life.
So many changes. There's a lot of changes.
Whether it's having babies, sickness, location.
All those things.
Everything.
I am thankful that for the most part, I think it's a conversation we definitely didn't have. What does that mean? And it's the point. What are expectations of the other when it comes to work?
Right.
What do we expect each person both to work? Do we expect that, you know, we're each paying 50-50?
But I think we did have that initial conversation in the beginning. we really looked at each other as partners.
Right.
And we was going to come in here and build and pull our weight. Mm-hmm. That's how I would say it. And, but life took a toll.
But I think one thing we didn't atone to is what partners and pull our weight. Because there are certain things that you like having kids. I can't have kids.
No, you can. I wish you could.
So in the day, that has to be accounted in when we talk about pulling our weight and what is 50-50. Right. And so
I pulled that baby. Yeah. All three of them big head babies for you.
I know. They got them Hershey's heads.
See, that's there you go, Robertson.
Oh, no.
No.
So I think that's one of the things we discussed and didn't have a full discussion to talk about. What is fair? What is 50-50? What is each pulling our own weight?
Right.
And I think that's part of it too. Yeah. I think, yes, we had discussion. We said we both wanted to be partners, but while we didn't specifically say that means 50-50 on finances, you know, we might have had the thought. That's what it was.
Right.
But again, it was something we had to kind of work out to and kind of had to make up on the fly and be acceptable to on the fly.
Definitely.
And so, yeah, I think it's definitely worth a conversation worth having because you need to understand, you know, am I expected, you know, as a woman, am I expected to work 50-50 or is the man going to pay 80% of the bills?
Right.
What, you know,
especially when I have kids and I have to be at home. And,
you know, is it expected that after I have kids, I got to get up and go back to work?
And cook and clean and take care of dishes? Like, am I mean, that doesn't look 50-50 to me.
Right. And I don't know if it's on here or not, but what happens when it comes to chores? What happens with the housework when it comes to the person who's not working? Are they expected to have the meals ready and clean the house? Is that the expectation or
do they
not?
Get a day off?
Do they get days off? Even to the point, if I'm home with the kids 9 to 5, when you get home, does that mean you're taking over the kids? Or you're saying, well, I just worked all day. When I get home, I don't want to deal with the kids too.
Right.
I need breaks too. So it that type of dynamic of what is the dynamic? What are their roles, responsibilities kind of works out?
Yeah. And takes us to our 8th question. Do we expect change from the others after marriage or a long period of time? Good question. You know, we never had that conversation, but I will say I assumed it.
I
didn't have to ask it to expect that there will be change.
I think the question should almost be, be open and acceptable that things might change. Things are going to change.
Right.
Let's talk about our previous conversation about the finances and working. Well, say I was, you know, one person was working 80% of the time, something happens, they get an accident or something happens, and now they're not the one who can work. You have to be able to change and adapt into a relationship because the only thing constant is change.
Agree.
And 100%. If you're talking about a long-term relationship, you can't be on year 15 talking about when we first got married. Right. Some of those rules are just not in void. Some of those things you had are not in void.
Man, you just brought something to my attention. I think one of the best partners to have is an adaptable partner.
Right.
Because they can change as life change with you.
100%.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing. And I think that's why I'm not starting here.
Actually, that's what you said about me when I first met you.
That you can adapt.
Yeah, he's like, I can take you to different environments.
I can take you to different environments, and wherever environment I take you to, I don't feel like I'm embarrassed. Like, oh gosh, I'm bringing her along. You know, like, oh, be quiet.
Close your mouth.
You know, I don't. I never had that about you. But I think that's the one thing too. It's not specifically here, but I think we need to talk about that too. Is no matter what conversations you had in the beginning, understand you still have to be adaptive because things might change.
Definitely.
And no matter what. Well, you agreed to this in the beginning. You said things change.
Things change.
And over time, especially if you're talking
people
about
change.
A long-term relationship. I would hope you're not the same person at 50 as you were at 20.
I hope not. Did you get some wisdom, some knowledge? Some
right, something. Right, you're going to be different. And so how you feel and how you answer these questions at 50 might be different than you are at 20.
Definitely.
Right, and so there might be periodic. You might have to, every 5 to 10 years, re-ask the questions like, hey, has your feelings changed? How do you feel about this, right?
You still like me?
You still like me? You still love me? Do love checkups, right?
Right.
Okay. So, okay, number 9. Are we both satisfied with our sex lives? And what do we expect our sex lives to be?
I don't think we had that question in the beginning.
No.
I
think these are, I don't think we had it initially. I think we were just, you know, just both liking having sex. But I do think.
You like more than me.
Dang. Okay, there's two ways to interpret that. I'm interpreting it the nice way.
It is the nice way.
Okay, let's go with that. Let's go with the nice way. Because I think we've asked it now, more recently, we've had checkups, and every 5 to 6 years we have kind of like, okay, what do you like in sex? What's
we do? You're really good at that.
What things do you still want to try? What things do you want to explore?
The Ashley one-on-one.
The Ashley one-on-one.
Ashley
All about me.
Ashley 101 is where I just sit down and I'm like, all right, Ashley, teach me about you. Mm. You know, I know you've done it. Teach me what you like. Teach me how you like to be.
Take notes.
Teach me how you like to be touched. Teach me how you like to be rubbed. Teach me where you like kissed. Teach me what you like licked. Teach me what you want to explore. How do you want me to explore you and pleasure your body? And, you know.
We should have a checkup on that. Have we had that recently?
Have we had it recently? I don't know.
I don't know, but I feel like we're overdue. What?
So I think all those things, right? And we talk about those. You talk about exploring sex, especially a partner you plan on being with for a long time. You can't just assume, well, I know what I'm doing when it comes to sex.
Right. And vice versa. Girls do it with the dude.
Man, don't assume that you know what you're doing with sex. And even to the point.
Yeah, are polite.
No matter how many sexual partners you've had previously, every woman is different. And what they like is different.
Every woman.
And so you should still ask and not be so prideful and ask the woman that you're being with, especially the person you're probably being with long term, what they like, how they like things, and explore and be able to, you know, be able to adapt to that person. Because, you know, I know sometimes we come in with, I know what I'm doing, but.
Tearing our stuff apart. Just tearing it apart.
You might know what you're doing and it might have worked on your previous partners, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for your current partner. Women are different and, you know, they're different in what they like.
Actually, women ain't starting to be so polite in the bed either. Women like,
boo-boo, you ain't doing
you
it
You ain't
right.
doing it. Call your friend. These chicks these days, you ain't seen these young girls. Call your friend.
Call your friend.
Yeah, they do. All right, taking us to the last one. How important is upkeeping our physical appearance? Something we should have talked about, unavoidable questions in the beginning.
I don't think we've ever talked about this.
No, I don't think. We ever, because I don't think in the beginning appearance was like a bad thing. You know, you was on point. You know, I think I was on point.
This is a very interesting question, and I think this is one of the ones that's easier to have in the beginning to kind of set ground rules and not ground rules, but set expectations of, you know, what is the part each person expect and what they not can and cannot do. And need to point.
Some people don't care about appearance.
Oh. Yes. Probably. I would say yes. There's probably some people who don't care about parents.
Yeah, they get fat together. I see couples who do it.
Yeah.
They get fat together.
I think that's a conversation. You need to point of what is the expectation? Okay. What is the expectation after having kids?
Right.
Or, you know.
Because the woman can get bigger. And if you want her to get smaller, are you going to pay for that training?
And then that's the thing too. You need to point. As a man, what is your investment going to be? And, or as a partner, you know, if I want you to keep up this certain appearance, if I want you to always have your hair done, always have your nails done, always have your feet done, always at the gym, then what is going to be my investment into those certain things? I can't say I always want your nails done, but when every time you ask for nail shop money, I'm like, no, we ain't got it. Well, then that can't, you know, I think that can't be. Or, hey, I want you always to keep your hair done. Okay. So are you going to pay $500 for this?
New hairstyle?
No, well then, okay. Then, and I think that's part of it. I'm talking, what is the expectation? And also, what are you willing to invest to upkeep? And right. I think those are all important conversations to kind of get into. And even to the point.
Definitely.
Important conversations to understand who you're getting with and who's your mindset. You can't have expectations when someone said, listen, I don't know. I never heard of a diet. And then have expectations like, why are you getting bigger? Because that can't
be that part.
That part. And if a person doesn't have a gym or workout lifestyle prior, they might not have it after.
True.
So understand that's what you're kind of getting into. And so I think these are all important conversations. Some of them we had, some of them we didn't have. Some of them were conversations and discussions that we had and caused some strains in our relationship too because we didn't have those conversations.
Definitely, 100%.
And I think having these conversations ahead of time is all great. And now to your point, it's much easier to have these conversations when you're still in the beginning, still in lovey-dovey, still roses color, everybody's so wonderful. Oh.
Not when you're arguing and mad at each other.
No. In the middle of arguments, is not the best time to have these questions.
Elsa, your sex life? You ain't happy? you ain't told me that last 5 years? Like, oh, bruh.
So, you know, we kind of want to help you guys out and just give advice on conversations you guys should have before you walk that out, before you sign up.
Wish somebody would have told us that.
Wish somebody would have told us. And so, I hope these guys help you out. But before we get out of here, let's go and get to our We're Not Strangers segment. So the We're Not Strangers segment is where Ashley and I both take a card and answer a question from the We're Not Strangers game. The questions are kind of selected at random, so we never quite know where these conversations are going to go. And sometimes they go in some interesting places.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, for this week, this episode, we have a level 2 and a level 3 question. So, we'll kind of go first with the level 2s, and then we'll read the level 3s. Okay. So, my level 2 one is, what are you still trying to prove to yourself?
That I am enough.
Hmm.
Okay, expand on that.
I didn't want to expand. You just said answer the question. I answered the question.
No, you can't just leave it there. You got to throw something else on that. That you are enough to who? Your family, to me, society, to yourself?
To myself.
Hmm.
Is that enough?
No.
You're just going to dig deep, aren't you?
That's what it's supposed to be. Listen to what it is.
No, it's just to answer the question.
No, we could have stayed at level one. That's the whole point, is to dig deep. Dig a little deeper.
I got a question for you.
No. Come on through.
I mean, just that I'm enough for myself. You know, at times we all feel like we're not enough because we know our flaws, right? Mm-hmm. We see, we are the mirror that no other person can see in ourselves.
Right.
And we're constantly looking at our flaws and our imperfections. And for me, because I'm such a big self-reflecting person, I'm constantly looking in how to improve, which means I'm also constantly looking at my imperfections.
Mm.
And because of that, it reminds me of me not being adequate.
Right.
And I have to constantly remind myself, actually, you are enough. And yes, you might don't have these things to be where you want them to be, but you're enough in this area. And sometimes there's nobody in the world that has everything.
No.
Nobody. I don't care how they make it seem. I'm this, I'm that. Believe me, they're lacking in something, whether you see it or not.
Right.
And so just that constant, you are enough to be who you need to be.
That's really good. That's actually really good.
But that good enough
for
you?
That was really good.
All right. So my question is, are you lying to yourself about anything?
Sometimes I think I lie to myself about that I have things under control. Sometimes I lie to myself thinking that I know where I'm going or that I have a plan way ahead. Or sometimes I think I even lie to myself when I say things will work out okay. Those are all the things I think sometimes I lie to myself about. And that sometimes I lie to myself that says I am okay, because sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I am harboring things or have discussions that I want to ask or questions or feelings that I'm holding on to. And sometimes I'm not okay. And I think those are things I lie to myself about.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Woo, let's get it.
So level three. All right. In one word, describe how you feel right now.
Renewed.
Ooh, I like that. Renewed.
Because I just went through a lot.
Yeah.
And so right now, I just feel regenerated, renewed, ready for, I don't know if you can hear it in the episode, but I just feel very upbeat, ready to go forth, running, and renewed in everything, though, in life, in relationship, in future, in dreams.
Got that new lease and new hope for life.
Yes. Just totally renewed.
Right. I like that.
What do you recommend I let go of, if anything? What is this about me?
Oh, okay.
I think it should be about you. What do you recommend you let go of?
That's not what the question was. That's not what the question was. What thing I recommend that you let go of? Mm. There's things I hope you let go of. And one of the things that I hope you let go of is, okay, things I would hope you let go of is some of the statements, comments I made earlier in our marriage. Mm. I think those things held against me. And I'm like, yeah, but I was 20. I'm 33 now. He was like, well, you said this. I was 22. I didn't know what I was talking about. And I think some of those things, I think that is one of the things I wish you would let go of. And so that understand that and not just hold me to what I said, did, or thought at 21, 22, and understand how I think, feel, and behave now at 33. Am I 33?
Yes, you are. You'd be 34 this year.
At 33, right? Who I am now. Gauge me on that, not necessarily all the statements and comments I made before. And I think those are things I would kind of wish you would let go of.
That is totally fair and scout's honor. I'll work on that. But I will say this, when I was learning about new habits and stuff, which I'll be reading self-help, well, I did read self-help books at one point. One of the things they were saying is when you want to create a new memory, you have to replace it with something else. In other words, I would say, and it's not just to you, but even into me, if one of the best ways to helping people get over things is replacing it with something positive that they can replace it with.
Right.
And so instead of them saying that, they can refer to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps. But
so
then I'll work on it.
And then I'll work on it. I'll make sure I give you some more positive memories to replace those other ones with.
Well, it's really in the line set.
Yeah.
So say if you were like, which you probably haven't, you fat chunky, what maybe you replace it with beautiful, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, just, you know,
right.
things out there for people.
I'm with you.
So.
Yeah. So I think these are good. I like these. So that's our We're Not Strangers segment. Yeah, I thought they were really good this week.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of wraps it up for this episode. Again, share it with your village. Share it with your mama, your uncle.
Your whole village,
yeah, your mama, your uncle, your grandma.
Your great-great-grandma, if she's still living.
The candy lady, your seventh-grade math teacher.
The ice cream man.
The ice cream man, the shop owner. All those people. Share it with all of them.
Don't be stingy. They want to hear it,
too. They want to hear it, too. Please like, share, subscribe the episode, and give us a ratings on Apple Podcasts. It really helps out.
We love you guys.
Reach out to us on social media. Reach out to us. Communicate with us in the Committed to Greatness Facebook group. We're in there. We ask questions at least once a week and jump in and dig in. So that kind of does it for us. I'm Tyron Robertson.
And I'm Ashley Robertson.
And this is the I'll Make Your Name Great podcast, the podcast you listen to on your road to greatness. All right. Bye.
I hear it.